Good evening. All who are able, please stand and join me in the responsive call to worship found in the evening bulletin. Sing to the Lord and bless God's holy name.
Praise to the one whose glory is known among the nations.
Sing to the Lord and bless God's holy name.
Sing to the Creator of the heavens.
Sing to the Lord and bless God's holy name.
Praise to the righteous judge of all.
Sing to the Lord and bless God's holy name.
Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, the God of love comes here.
Let us worship our God. Please join me in the prayer of invocation.
God of love and forgiveness, tonight we remember and celebrate the grace you showed us in the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your compassion and mercy, for your humility and might. Help us to live lives worthy of the promises you have made, lives dedicated to your word, and to your ministry among people. Guide us forward, that we might reflect your love in all we say and do. We pray this trusting in you, O giver of all. Amen.
Do not be afraid. Hear the good news of great joy to all people. A Savior has been born this night for you. Together, amen. During the four Sundays of Advent preceding tonight, and it was an odd year that you might be aware of, that this morning was Advent 4, and we were still set up in this sanctuary with the purple altar cloths, and I had explained that from midnight Saturday night until noon today, it was Advent 4, and at noon we became Christmas Eve. And so during those four Sundays, we lit the four candles, hope, love, joy, and peace, as we took time to remember those significant things in the life of the church and the life of the faith. Tonight, as I read this text from the prophet Isaiah, Vicki will light that Christ candle to celebrate the reason why we're here this evening. Hear these words. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live in the land where death casts its shadow. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Hear our first scripture this evening from the major prophets. This scripture lesson comes to us from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, You have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Listen now to our New Testament reading, a letter from St. Paul. It's Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly possessions and passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we continue to hear from God's Word, we're going to hear from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, the first 20 verses. These are familiar ones. They're always read on this night. They're sort of like a poetry. They're not what I grew up with. I grew up with the King James Version. This is the New Revised Standard I'm reading from. But they are familiar words. So here Luke described the birth of Jesus, when the shepherds come, and the angels speak to the shepherds. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands or swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Now in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people, and to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands or swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Charles Dickens wrote a play or a story, The Christmas Carol, and in it Ebenezer Scrooge says, "Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money, a time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer? Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." I remember watching the old movie on TV from 1951, the old black and white of The Christmas Carol. Younger people here tonight, but those of us who might remember in the 60s, there was a Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol that came out. What I remember most about A Christmas Carol, it was an amateur production. I wasn't much older than the older children that were up here tonight. And I remember sitting bolt upright when Marley came dragging the chains and the bags of money, and they actually made it, it vibrated in the theater. I love Bob Cratchit, Tiny Tim. We like the way the play ended when Scrooge is transformed and redeemed. And the best part for me, like the little one who answered Vicky's question, Santa was downstairs later with chocolate candy for everybody. But Charles Dickens was close to the mark. The gospel is about the power of love to change, to redeem, to save, and to make a difference in the lives of all people. And so a generation after Jesus' death and resurrection, one of his followers wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them." What a remarkable idea that we could do that. Every civilization that has ever existed has pondered the ultimate, what we call the ultimate question. Early philosophers concluded that if there is an ultimate being, it has to be perfect, it has to be complete, it has to be lacking nothing. And such a God would have no needs, no feelings, no emotion. The Greeks called this the apatheia of God, which we derive the word apathy. And they insisted that God then must be untouched, uncontaminated by this messiness of humanity. The gospel proclaims the opposite of that. That God does have feelings. And God is hopelessly and relentlessly in love with the world and the human beings that inhabit it. God doesn't live in a textbook, doesn't live in a creed, doesn't live in a temple or a cathedral, doesn't even live in a church. God lives in the human love that we share with one another. And that act of noticing one another in this world. Diana X, ECKX, has said in Encountering God, she writes, "The language of faith is the language of affection, and faith language is analogous or equivalent to the language we use when we say, 'I love you.'" I find that the miracle of love is the more you love, the more alive you become, because the more you are interacting with other people in the world. And there are fortunate people in this world who have learned how to love, how to give love, how to share resources, to give gifts, and even life itself. There are those among us who can do that. My Aunt Edna, God rest her soul, always said that Christmas was for the children, because it's the simplest thing for them, for the watch the young people, the excitement they have as they look for the gifts. As we get older, and as I watched my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren begin to open their gifts as well, it's a yearly reminder that it is better to give than to receive. My joy is just to watch them rip that paper off the package. But it's why we give gifts, and it's why we send greeting cards, and it's why I have a cousin who writes these long letters that's tucked in my Christmas card, but it explains, and he's trying to share life, because he lives in Minnesota, and I don't see him very often. It's that time of the year when we're kinder than usual. We acknowledge people. We're more generous. We shower neighbors and friends with cookies and jars of homemade jam. Plate of fudge even showed up on my office desk one day. It's a reminder that we're alive. It's a reminder that it's important to be fully alive in a small way, to know that someone has been an instrument of God's transforming love for us. And it's not too late. I go back to the Dickens story. Scrooge, after a harrowing and sleepless night, becomes a changed man. He gets the biggest turkey from the shop and he sends it to the Cratchit home. He wishes Merry Christmas to his startled neighbors. And my God, he even goes to church. On the last page of that novel, Dickens has written about Scrooge. His own heart laughed, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. Keeping Christmas is the transforming of the power of love and believing in that transforming power of love. Wendell Berry wrote a book. It's called This Day, Collected in New Sabbath Poems, and he has written, "I know that I have life insofar as I have love. I have no love except it comes from thee. Help me, please, to carry this candle against the wind." I would pray that the Holy Spirit that spoke to Joseph, to Mary, that inspired the angels to sing to the shepherds, who was present at the birth of Jesus, continue to bless us as we worship, gather about the table, to remember, to use an old cliche, the reason for the season. So this Christmas, as we share God's love, not just with those of us gathered here, but with your family and friends, whether you've already done that, or you're going to do it after we're done here, or maybe tomorrow like I'm going to do. Sometimes it feels when we're out in the world, we're carrying that candle against the wind. Sometimes. But what I would like people to say, that as they see us and as we live in this world, that they can say, we knew how to keep Christmas well. Love one another. God loves us. Thanks be to God. And Merry Christmas. Amen. As we come to God in prayer this evening, during Sunday morning we always gather concerns, but I always know that there are those things that are upon your hearts and your minds. So there are those. We are blessed to be here to celebrate together this night. There are those who are grieving the loss of people in their lives. Sometimes this is the first Christmas, and it becomes a hard thing. But there are those who are always celebrating somewhere with people they haven't seen for a while, and it's a time to celebrate. There's things going on in the world that we don't fully understand and we wish would be better. But But all those things are out there swirling around as we focus on prayer this night. So let us pray, and we will close with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty God, you have caused this holy night. And as we have heard this day, that you come and you shine with the brightness of the true light. We praise you for that mystery of love divine and all loves excelling. And we join together with voices with that angelic chorus that proclaims, glory be to God on high. We praise you for the mystery of Christ, Son of God, yet our brother, born of Mary, the eternal Word, yet comes as a speechless child, clothed in glory and yet wrapped in cloths, the Lord of Lords and yet laid in a manger, strong in his weakness and mighty to save. We have heard and we remember this night that the shepherds who were faithfully tending their flocks, that message came to them. Keep us faithful, that day by day in the work that you have given each of us to do. We pray, O God, for those who may have no work, for those who are suffering, for those who are lonely, for those who are ill, for those who may feel neglected at this time. We ask that you sustain them. May the Spirit touch them in some special way in their need. Bring them what we call the good tidings of this season. We remember this night, the manger. It is a sign of your Son's humility and rejection. So allow us to be able, as we journey, to see Jesus in those unexpected places of the world, places where we least expect it. We ask that you pour your Spirit upon us and all who are seeking your Son this night. Help us that we can continue to honor and care for all people and to share the life and the blessings which you have given to us to share. All these things we ask, O God, in the name of your child, Jesus the Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us join together with that prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Ascribe to God the glory due God's name. Bring an offering as you come into God's courts. Let your giving say to the world, Christ has come. God reigns among us. We have been saved from our iniquity to serve wherever there is need. The ushers may now come forward.
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Loving God, we thank you for providing every spiritual need in the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for the gift of salvation that you have brought to us through his birth, life, death, and resurrection. Your gifts lead us to provide and support the ministry of salvation and reconciliation through Christ's presence. We bring before you this night our offerings of time, talent, and treasure. May the celebration of Jesus' birth empower in us a renewed desire to share the gifts that we have been given, so that we may glorify you and advance your realm. We ask these things in the name of our newborn King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stay standing as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Almighty God, at this blessed Christmas feast, we give you thanks and praise. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on this earth. You made us in your image, and though we all have sinned and fallen short of your glory, you loved the world so much, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. As Mary and Joseph went from Galilee to Bethlehem and there found no room, so Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem and was despised and rejected. As in the poverty of a stable, Jesus was born. So from suffering and death, you raised him to bring us life. Truly holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus. As your word became flesh, born of woman, on that night long ago, so he offered himself up for us. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is the sacrifice of my blood for you in the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, in remembrance of all your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we ask you to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer in union with Christ's sacrifice for us as a living and holy surrender of ourselves. Send the power of your Holy Spirit upon us and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread, the drinking of the cup, we may know the presence of the living Christ, be one body in him, cleansed by his blood, faithfully serve him in this world, and look forward to his coming in final victory. Through him, with him, in him, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore. Amen. These are the gifts of God. For the people of God, come. All things are now ready.
This is the body of Christ, broken for you and for all, so that sin may be forgiven. Take and eat.
This cup is a new covenant given to us by Jesus Christ, that we might have forgiveness, eternal life. My friends, take and drink. Please join with me in our prayer of thanksgiving. We give you thanks, O God, that you have come to us through Jesus Christ, both in the midst of time and history in the city of Bethlehem, and in the timeless presence of Christ's Spirit, as we receive the gifts of bread and cup. Send us out into the world rejoicing, ready to share your love with the people we meet, through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. As the ushers are going out, and Vicki and I are unpreparing the table, we're going to do the candle lighting ceremony. Please remember you only tip the unlighted candle to the lit one. Otherwise, I'll get complaints about cleaning the wax off the pew cushions. It's a very significant tradition in every church I've ever served that this is what we do at the end of Christmas Eve service. So, as soon as we get ready. is the light of the world. We illuminate this space only with our candles. We can do that with one another when we share the love that I talked about with those who need to hear it. One candle, one candle, one candle, one candle. We've been blessed this night. Christ is born. Christ is among us. The Spirit is here. Go forth knowing that God is always with us. And let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.